This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Good evening, good evening. It's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. A little team in the studio. Tom is here.
Yeah, how are you going?
Good. And I'm Matt, and we're it. Well, that is until the studio fills up with our guests tonight. Now, a popular Asian holiday destination for Australians has all of life's mod cons. Great food, multicultural society, awesome shopping, and a ban on being gay. Tonight, we're off to Singapore.
What are the cultural influences that keep Singapore's gay population in the dark ages?
How are LGBTI people seen in society and through the media?
And what is the influence of family in decisions of coming out? Joining us in the studio tonight to share their stories are Alex and Kai, Singaporeans now living in Melbourne.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Kicking off tonight in Finland, where the Finnish Parliament has voted down efforts to reverse marriage equality. This has been a long-running struggle in Finland. In November 2014, the Finnish Parliament passed a citizens' initiative that basically made marriage gender neutral. It was a reasonably tight vote, 105 to 92. Since then, the president has signed the legislation, which is due to come into effect from March 1. Now, interestingly, citizens' initiative in Finland basically involves a massive petition. If you get over 50,000 signatures, the parliament must debate the issue. For this particular bill, 167,000 voters signed the petition, and it has since gone through the country's parliament. Now, the efforts to stop same-sex marriage were put up by the right-wing party, the Finns Party, who have been rallying against this issue and saying, what about the children? Haven't we heard that one before?
What about the children?
Now, many others, however, in the chamber have stood up in support of this, and same-sex marriage is still set to become law from March 1 this year. Interestingly, Finland is the last of the Nordic countries to legalise same-sex marriage.
Now over to Tanzania, where Deputy Health Minister threatens to publish a list of gay people. A Tanzanian government representative has threatened to publish a list of gay people risking mob violence and threatening their lives. Hamsi Kigwangala, the Deputy Health Minister, has vowed to break up a homosexuality syndicate and publish names of men working as sex workers. I will publish a list of gay people selling their bodies online, he said. Those who think this campaign is a joke are wrong. The government has long arms and will quietly arrest all those involved. Once arrested, they will help us find others.
I think some of those comments there are very, very concerning, and it comes off the back of a whole range of other negative sentiments and initiatives from the government. The government actually closed down 40 privately run health centres who were providing HIV and AIDS services, accusing them of catering to homosexuals, and this is obviously in a country where homosexuality is illegal. And they also banned, quite infamously, in 2016, banned the import of lube as a part of a crackdown on the gay community.
Can I just say, Worldwide Wrap every week, something new that surprises you.
Something that surprises you.
Now over to France, where Marine Le Pen pledges to abolish same-sex marriage. Marine Le Pen is planning to abolish same-sex marriage if she wins the French election. The French presidential hopeful made the pledge as part of her 144-page projet presidential plan.
It did only make number 87 on her list.
Only 87.
Only 87. So this is quite a raft of things she's planning to do, more things than Donald Trump. And so Marine Le Pen is the right-wing candidate. She is pretty far out there in the conservative space. She's actually ahead in the polls at the moment, which is very, very concerning.
In 2013, President François Hollande signed the law allowing same-sex marriage in France. Prior to the change, same-sex couples could only enter civil unions called civil solidarity pacts. As pacts was open to all couples, no matter if gay or straight, it was kept on even after marriage equality was established. Le Pen now wants to revert same-sex marriage back to an improved version of pacts. It is unclear what would happen to adoption rights.
She's really sending out some mixed messages in this, you know, this manifesto that she's put out, because whilst she's saying she will reverse same-sex marriage, she's also trying to distance herself from the more extreme views of other right-wing parties. She's sort of trying to walk that fine line and get enough votes, obviously.
Yes.
Across to Taiwan. Courts in Taiwan are set to review same-sex marriage. Now, there is potential that Taiwan will become the first country in Asia to legislate for same-sex marriage. And marriage equality advocates are hopeful that this decision to hold a constitutional review in the courts may be the positive step forward that they need. It basically convenes the Council of Grand Justices from the Judicial Yuan, and that's one of the five branches of government. And they will be looking at the interpretation of the marriage law by one of the city's Bureau of Civil Affairs. Interestingly, they've also allowed for this to be broadcast, a debate over this issue to be broadcast, which is quite an unusual step forward.
It's a bit different. Despite the fact the council might not rule in favour of marriage equality, Chen was confident it will become a reality at some point.
And we hope to see that too. We're cheering them on. In brief, in India, censors cut crucial sex scenes from the gay-themed Oscar-nominated movie Moonlight.
In China, gay hookup app Blued has received state sponsoring funding.
In the USA, the Washington State Supreme Court has ruled unanimously against a Christian florist who had refused to sell flowers to a gay couple's wedding, despite the florist's claim that her religious objections provided legal cover.
Over to Croatia, where hundreds attend pro-LGBTI protests after gas attack on gay nightclub.
And this is not two words you generally hear, Donald Trump and good news for gay people. In the USA, a surprising decision by the Trump administration to keep the LGBTI special envoy, who was appointed by President Obama, Randy Berry, in place, which has angered some of his supporters. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave. Lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking you around the globe one country at a time. We look at Singapore tonight. A few messages coming in. I'm going to get to those in a minute. Also on Facebook, we were just talking about that Marine Le Pen story and her pledge to abolish marriage equality. It has taken off on Facebook. Greg says, with the potential support of gays who are scared of immigration. And Dominique, who is from France, says it's not the potential but the reality of support of gay people fearing for their rights to be undermined by people coming from other countries. This is this whole fear thing of the you know, the refugees are going to come in and, well, they're now not just taking jobs, they're taking gay rights, apparently. You can follow us, W3Joy, on Facebook and comment on the news stories of the week. However, we're not in France. We are in Singapore tonight, and we've got a couple of guests in the studio. Welcome, Alex.
Oh, hello.
And Kai is here as well.
Yeah, hi, Matt.
Thanks for coming in and speaking to us and giving us a bit of an insight into LGBT life in Singapore. Perhaps I could start with your trip to Australia. What brought you to Australia? Maybe Alex first.
Oh, well, I came about a year ago for work, and well, my company just gave me an option to move to Australia, and I decided to take it up just to see what life was like outside of Singapore.
And yeah. has that been a really good experience? You're still finding your feet? How's that been?
Still finding my feet. Australia's been a good place. Yeah, definitely different from Singapore.
In what way?
Oh, well, I think the most...
Aside from the warmth.
Oh, the cold.
The cold. Yeah, we've got the cold, that's for sure. Today we got the cold.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest cultural shock would be how friendly Australians are to the point where sometimes I'm slightly annoyed when people keep trying to talk to me at the supermarket when I'm buying food. Yeah.
So. We'll take that annoyance. That's okay. We're happy with that. Kai, what about you? What brought you here?
Well, I came here basically to do a university degree. So I finished high school in Singapore, finished the army there. Half my family's in Singapore, half my family's here in Australia. So I decided to come here, finish the degree, and haven't gone back yet to live. Yeah.
Is that you haven't gone back because you're enjoying it too much here?
Well, kind of. I think being a gay man really does have something to do about not going back to Singapore and not going back to work and to live and to settle down there. But yes.
I want to explore that a bit more as we chat tonight. Tell me a little bit about life growing up in Singapore. Mm-hmm. Tell us, maybe start with the family. What's the role of the family in Singaporean society? Kai?
Family is very... Singapore is an Asian country, so you expect it to be quite traditional. But I think in Asia, Singapore is one of the most liberal, westernized countries you'll find. So a family unit, although it's westernized and liberal, it's still considered a father, a mother, and kids. So that would be a typical family unit in Singapore. And if you go around...
What if you're not typical?
If you're not typical, then you're an outlier.
Well, yeah, outliers don't do well in Singapore.
No, they don't.
What happens to outliers? When you say they don't do well,
I think generally Singapore does very well for most people. As long as you fit into the mold of the, you know, you're straight, you do reasonably well at your work, you're going to have two kids. So Singapore does very well at that. Cost of living is supposedly high. It's not really that high. You can get work, you know, you can have fun. But once you're a little bit off the track, then you start finding that things are a bit more difficult. More difficult by housing. More difficult.
As in housing purchase favors families?
It does. For example, in Singapore, like most of us live in public housing. So like 80% of Singaporeans live in government housing.
Wow.
So
I had no idea.
That's quite highly subsidized by the government for us. So, but the thing is, to buy housing in Singapore, you need to be married or you need to be over 35 if you're single. And you don't get, like, the nice houses. You get, like, a smaller one.
Leftovers.
Yeah.
When you were growing up, was there any exposure in the media or in... did you ever hear the word gay? Was it mentioned?
Definitely, but mostly negatively, I guess.
Okay.
I think there's always been gay presence in the media. Like
drag queens.
Drag queens?
Yes, we have drag queens in Singapore. Most famous one would be this Indian guy called Kumar. So he works in television, does stand-up comedy, and he's just a Singapore icon. And not in a bad way, he was actually a really good drag queen.
When he was on TV, he couldn't be a drag queen. They made him perform as a guy, which kind of killed the
defeats
point.
The purpose.
Yeah.
It is interesting because I was reading that there are laws in place that prohibit what is quoted as the glamorization of the homosexual lifestyle. So basically on television and radio, you can't do anything that actually portrays a positive image of being gay. Is that right?
If you're gay in Singapore, you need to be sad, suicidal. You need to, you know, break up with your boyfriend and then take drugs and then die. Yeah. So,
oh dear.
Brokeback Mountain was very popular. Yeah.
Oh dear.
We are talking all things Singapore tonight with our guests, Alex and Kai. 0427 Joy 949 is going off a bit here. 317 says, my partner was offered an opportunity in the legal field to work in Singapore. He sadly only went there for a week because of the gay discrimination laws. He turned down numerous employment prospects. It's archaic and absurd. Is that something you've heard before?
Not, well,
There are no discrimination laws in you know, for employment or the like for discrimination against gay people within Singapore?
Well, on paper, there is discrimination. You're allowed to discriminate against a gay person in Singapore. But I'm not sure if the person who sent the message, whether his partner really... Was he discriminated against, or was there just a perceived discrimination? Because,
or is it more about the feeling of discrimination? So yeah, maybe it's...
That could be an issue as well. I mean...
Is from within working life, was it... Could you ever be out at work?
Well, I was never out at work when I was in Singapore, but regarding discrimination professionally, I would say maybe not overtly, but, you know, there would be...
Subtle discrimination.
There'd be gossip behind your back. Mm. In work, in school, people would talk. Of course, that happens everywhere, and I'm guessing it happens to a greater extent in Singapore compared to here in Australia.
We're going to explore more here about gay life in Singapore. This is Worldwide Wave.
I'm Stefan from Taiwan. You're listening to Worldwide Wave.
Tonight we are talking all things Singapore. Tell us a bit more about, because there's a message come in about Pink Dot.
That's right.
So Pink Dot. Now, just let me tell you what the message is, because they mention... Here we go. Tell us about Pink Dot. Foreigners can't go, so we have to rely on your insights. Thanks for that message.
Actually, foreigners can go to Pink Dot. Well, supposedly...
Isn't it held in a park that you can't...
Singapore is a little bit of a repressive society. You can't have protests or riots there, except at this one park called Hong Lim Park, but you still need to get a permit. So that's where Pink Dot is held. So... the way that the Pink Dot organizers have circumvented the no foreigners rule is by having the foreigners stand outside the park.
Right.
But still waving at the people inside, I guess.
And Singapore, it's one of the biggest Pink Dots in Asia. This is sort of, in fact, I think they were the first ones to have Pink Dot. Mm-hmm. And then it's gone to Hong Kong and a few others.
Yeah,
and I always love that they put out the photo at night when everybody shines the pink lights and they take an aerial shot.
Oh, it looks very nice. Everyone's in pink, but it smells terrible because Singapore's so hot, right? So it's like Instagram. It looks very pretty, but then when you're actually there,
Do you think Pink Dot makes a difference?
Well, definitely people have criticized it because it doesn't have any teeth, I guess. It doesn't really try to push the boundaries enough. And some people have said, you know, it leaves out a lot of members of the LGBT community, especially the trans people, because Pink Dot tries to portray itself as a very family-friendly event. So,
really? That sounds incongruous with what you were just talking about, whereby a gay person or somebody who's an outsider is treated as an outsider.
Oh, family friendly, not as in, you know.
Would you bring your mum and your dad, or is it more same-sex families?
You would try to bring your... I think the idea is they want people to bring their moms and dads if the moms and dads accept them. And... I think what the organizers are trying to do is to show that gay and lesbian people are also humans, are Singaporeans, and they're actually no different from, you know, everyone in society, which is a little bit different from, I think, the message at a Pride March, which is we have to accept everyone, you know, regardless of whatever they are.
Is that a part of, I guess, taking baby steps of... You know, introducing people, we're really not that bad.
Maybe. I think also there's no way to have gotten a permit for something like Pride in Singapore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not yet, in the future. Another message, keep coming, lots of messages tonight. Stuart from Yarraville says, can you ask Alex and Kai about their experiences in the Singaporean army and what it was like to be gay and in the army whilst living in a country where it is illegal to be gay? Because you have compulsory service, yes?
Mm, yes.
That's right.
And how long does that run for?
For me, it was 1 year and 10 months.
Wow, very specific. Were you counting down the days?
Oh, yes.
Oh, definitely. While you're doing it, you count the days down.
Yeah, so what's it like being gay or being a bit different in a fairly Machosis area?
I can only speak for myself, but because I wasn't out at the time, and I was, you know, I didn't really have, I wasn't gay at the point, not overtly gay. So I didn't really notice any, you know, discrimination. I didn't get any action either. There's a lot of Singaporean fantasies about having sex during your army days
and dropping the soap and never showering.
Kai, what about you?
Well, I think it starts even before the army. So before you actually enlist, you go for a medical, and one of the questions that the doctors would ask you is there anything else you want to tell us?
And very open question.
It's a very open question, but everyone sort of knew. It's the sort of question, it's the time for you to say, hey, doc, I'm gay, or I'm bi or something. And then from that snowballs into an interview with the psychiatrist and your parents.
Yeah.
And if you tell them you're gay at that medical appointment, you can't actually serve in a
combat role.
So
yes.
You're given lighter duties,
yeah,
or something
so
like that.
You have to serve the 2 years in the army, but you finish it as a clerical staff or something like that. So lighter duties, clerical staff, non-important roles, non-combat.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I don't think it's something that people should be discriminated against by. I mean, if you're gay, if you're in the army, if you want to do your job well, then just you shouldn't be discriminated against. I mean, I wasn't out at the time, and I served in the combat unit, so did my job relatively well there, was in charge of many people as well, and it wouldn't change if they knew I were gay, so...
Is it designed to intimidate? I mean, when you said they send you to a psychiatrist and they bring in your parents. That's pretty intimidating.
Yeah, it is, especially for someone that young. Because when you go in, you'll be about 18 years old. And I think it's more so that they just want to prevent people from trying to get an easy role during conscription. Yes. Because we're all conscripts.
So who might say they were gay in order to get off lightly?
Yep, that's right.
So you have straight... They want to prevent straight people saying they're gay in order to not to serve in a combat unit.
Wow.
Which, yeah.
It's probably something that for Australians, a compulsory military service is obviously not there. So it's probably something that's quite foreign to us, well, certainly for more than a generation. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, it is illegal to be gay. There are laws in place which involve up to 2 years, caning in some instances, but it's not really enforced.
Yep. The infamous 377A.
377A, blame the British. All their fault. They've done it all over the world. Paul, if Paul was here, who's our token Brit, he'd be, swearing under his breath. but I guess the laws are there. Even if they're not implemented, that must surely bring challenges or uncertainty. How do you feel about that?
I've never been afraid of having 377A, you know, enacted against me. But, you know, you do hear stories. The police don't actively enforce it. But I think if somebody reports you for it, then, you know, something has to be done. You might get a police report written up against you. The last thing I heard was, like, wives who were betrayed by their gay husbands complaining to the police.
Okay.
So there are some cases where it could, you know, something could still happen. But I've never felt like the law was going to be used, but you're right. It does. It's a big stepping stone because in Singapore, we can't even think about gay marriage. Because as long as 377A is there, then, you know, nothing can ever
get
done.
It's not going anywhere. Yeah. Kai, for you, having the law dangling there, even if it's not being implemented, does that change the way you behave with other people or what you do? Does that change your freedom?
I don't really think it changes my freedom. I mean, maybe I belong to that young group of Singaporeans who had too much liberty growing up and you're not afraid of the laws anymore because, you know, no one's really going to catch you and charge you with 3778. It's just...
They're listening right now.
Law on a paper. Hello.
Does that... I don't want to call it complacency. Does that acceptance... I mean, you're both fairly... Oh, yeah, it's just there. Mm. Does that mean that there's no fire to change? Is there anybody in Singapore talking about changing 377?
Yes, definitely. I think just 2 years ago, there were these guys who filed a Supreme Court appeal trying to get rid of 377A. It failed. But there are activists in Singapore who are, you know, always talking about it. But I don't see anything changing in the near future. Yeah, there's no political will for the government to do anything about it.
Is there any political support? Like, is there any political party who is advocating at all?
No, even the minority parties in Singapore, the opposition. Gay rights is just too much of a minority issue for anyone to really care, other than gay people and, you know, the allies. But we don't have popular support, so it's unlikely that anything will change. So maybe I'm just a pessimist, but...
a few more messages coming in. Paul's obviously listening in because he says, "I'm sorry again," in capitals. Thanks, Paul. And somebody else has messaged in saying, "No wonder Paul couldn't make it tonight." Paul, we're not personally blaming you. One more that's come in. 317 says, "Is there a subculture within Singapore that rebels against this liberty, a young movement?" Is there, have you witnessed any difference in young people around wanting change, wanting, you know, a new liberty?
Kai, you'll have to take this because I don't hang around with young people.
That's a compliment, Kai.
Oh my god! So the question was,
is there any change with young people? Are they more interested in LGBTI rights going forward? The next generation, do they see things differently?
I think definitely it's the same all over the world. Younger people tend to be more open, more accepting of LGBT issues. But at the same time, Singapore is still quite conservative. So
I think it's a bit hard for a non-LGBTI person to get involved in LGBTI rights unless they have come into contact with a gay friend or they have a family member who is gay, and then they'll take more initiative in it. Whether or not young people actually step up to the plate, I think definitely young people step up more than the older generation. But again, a lot of people are worried about just putting food on the table. I mean, you have jobs, and Singapore is a stressful country to work in. So if you're working 5 or 6 days a week, putting in 10, 11, 12-hour shifts, you don't really have time to think about gay rights. So maybe that's some food for thought there.
Tonight we have our guests Kai and Alex in the studio talking all things Singapore. You're on World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Where tonight we've stopped off in Singapore, and in the studio we've got our guests Alex and Kai. Guys, you are lighting up the SMSs, I have to say. More messages coming in.
It's a good thing, right?
Yeah, well, yes, because the people are saying, great interview. They've also called you, yes, they're workaholics, so there's general acceptance there. One question here, is Lee Kuan Yew's son more progressive than his father towards LGBTI rights? He seems like a pretty cool guy. Is he cool?
He wears a lot of pink shirts.
Right.
I guess that makes someone cool.
Is that a sign? Would he get sent to the psychiatrist for military service?
I'm not going to say anything about Lee Hsien Loong.
I've actually met Lee Hsien Loong here in Melbourne when he came for a visit. Is he a cool guy? Yes, I think he's a cool guy because he can hold a conversation. You can talk to him, and him being a politician and basically a guy who can actually chat to you and get to understand you, or get to know who you are. And you know,
is
we
he
didn't
a part
talk about
of that next generation that might be a bit
actually,
more supportive.
He's outgoing. Lee Hsien Loong is in his 60s. So
in his 60s? The son is in his 60s.
Yeah. So he's on his way out. We're looking for the next prime minister.
He's not new blood. He's not part of the next generation. I think he is the current crop of leaders.
Right.
So the next generation would be the one to look out for. Yeah.
But whether he's more progressive in terms of LGBTI issues, not particularly. Yeah.
I've got a question from Peter.
Yes, on our email, onair@joy.org.au. Hi, just wondering, if there is any actual gay culture in Singapore, nightclubs, bars, etc.?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Along Neil Road, there's at least 5 or 6 bars. You can find Tantric, Taboo, Backstage, E-Bar, Does Your Mother Know, somewhere. Yeah.
What a perfect name.
Alex, it seems like you've been to everyone.
what are they like? Are they they're out there. There's no doubt that they're a gay bar.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they're gay bars. Walk past them. You can look inside.
It's a precinct. It's almost like they're...
It's Chinatown.
It's Chinatown, okay.
Yeah.
Is it known as the gay precinct, though?
No, not necessarily, because like right beside the gay bars, there are the straight bars, you know, the slightly dirty ones of the girls that'll sing with you for money.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sit on your lap and that kind of...
That part of town.
Yeah.
But every bar in Singapore has a different clientele as well. You get bars where Caucasians go and hook up with Asian guys, and you get bars where it's older Asian men, so...
It's quite segregated and...
Yeah, but there's something for everyone.
Okay.
I don't think police...
It's a bit like Melbourne also. Like, there's... The Laird is obviously for certain type of
people and
yeah, other bars are for other types of people.
So definitely something for everyone in Singapore.
That international influence, there's a lot of expats that live and work in Singapore. It's a very big tourist destination. So there's a lot of... I guess Western people coming and going. Does that doesn't seem to have any influence on any sort of acceptance of LGBTI people or rights?
Well, I guess a lot of the tourists probably don't make much of a difference, and I think a lot of the expats who go into Singapore are there don't want to rock the boat because they're there to earn a living.
And they'll be there in an expat salary, having good jobs as well. So once they say something, who knows what might happen
they
to their
jobs. They get deported. Singapore is a kind of place where if you protest for, you know, vegan health and not eating animals, you get questioned and put in a cell somewhere.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to eat meat. Okay. More messages. 317 says, we need a Justin Trudeau around the world to initiate change. He's hot and cool. Yeah, I'm there. And Chappell says, great show. Keep up the awesome work. Loving the interview. Well done. Tell us a bit about, so coming to Australia, we sort of touched on that a bit before. In terms of, so you're not out to your family. Both or one?
No, I'm not out to my... I'm out to my siblings, but not my parents.
And
so if mom and dad, if you hear this, hi. Sorry you had to hear this way.
How did your siblings react?
Pretty well, actually.
Okay.
I mean, actually, my sister was the first person I came out to, and she was the one who actually asked me if I was gay. So, I didn't have to come out to her. My brother says he's known... all along, because he found my porn. So,
but parents, so they're still back in Singapore?
Still back in Singapore.
Is that like a safe distance? You don't have to deal with this, where are you at?
Not just for gay stuff. Lots of stuff with my parents I don't want to deal with. Yeah, but I think my parents still want me to get married, have a kid, that kind of thing. But hopefully... Really? If my siblings do it, then the pressure is off me.
Okay.
I don't think my parents want me to get married and have kids because they don't ask me anymore. So maybe that's a sign.
Do you think that they might be, giving you a gentle hint?
Well, yes and no. So I have an older brother, and he's not married as well, so there's a shield there. So as long as you have an older sibling who is not married, well, that guy gets all the arrows and the questions, and me as the younger sibling gets off lightly. And this happens during Chinese New Year as well, Matt. So
what happens in Chinese New Year?
In Chinese New Year, well, families come together and people compare children. And, oh, how are you doing today? What school did you get into? What's your job? How much are you earning? Are you married?
Really? It's that direct?
Oh, it can be direct. It can be that direct, or it can be subtle. Like, have you found a place to park your car? Where did you park?
Really?
Let's just suss out if you are driving a car.
So what would happen if you then, you know, if they said, are you married? No, but I've got a boyfriend. What if you said something like that? Would you, like, would everyone just stop silence?
Yeah, I think that would keep the room quiet.
Kill the conversation for a while.
So it's not on the radar anytime soon then?
No, it's... Oh.
I'm pretty sure there are quite a lot of gay people in Singapore. And a lot of... But it's very quiet. Like, for example, where I worked, there were 3 other gay guys. And I didn't know they were gay until, you know, the day I quit. And we went out for my farewell dinner.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Don't ask, don't tell. That's right.
Do you miss Singapore?
Well, yes. I've only been here a year, so I
so it's a very definite yes there from Kai. Kai, what do you miss about Singapore?
I miss family and friends. Yeah. Not much else. I don't miss the culture there, but it's basically family that you grew up with and people you haven't seen, or you see them once a year or once in 2 years, and it's just I mean, it's always been a part of me. I mean, I grew up there, and even though I'm living here now, it's basically the bonds that bring you back and remind you of your life or your previous life. So yes, I do miss family and friends.
And Alex?
I think it's the same. Moving anywhere, the things you miss will be family and friends.
The people closest to you.
You don't miss places.
We're talking all things Singapore.
This is Samuel from Kenya on Wild Wide Wave.
We've actually run out of time. Really enjoyed this. We could just keep going for another hour or so. Maybe we'll go out and have a dinner and drink. Big thank you to our guests in the studio, Alex and Kai. The messages, oh my gosh, I don't think we've ever had so many messages in one show. Thank you to all the SMSs, all the Facebook messages as well. Our podcaster, Mark, and Gordon, of course. Gordon's always out there on the front desk with us. And taking you out with a bit more of the Singaporean music, and we will catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.